This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Colvin, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Please join us for a word of prayer.
Father God, we come to you with bowed heads, closed eyes, opening our own hearts, just taking a moment to say, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
And on time, God,
yes.
Say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For being the great God.
Yes.
Say
yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For being a holy God.
Thank you, Lord.
Say thank you.
Thank you.
Being Almighty God,
yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
For being a God of grace,
thank
God
you.
Of mercy.
Oh, yeah.
Many times we come short of your glory, but you keep on blessing us anyhow.
Yes. Thank you.
For that, Father God, we say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
And the many things that you have blessed us with, we just take a moment once again to thank you for the ultimate gift to mankind. Your Son,
yes.
Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Praise. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you.
hear a word that our society needs to hear. And in spite of everything goes on around us, your word stands tall, and come what may, you reign yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
So in doing so, we come, be in every mountain, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Thank you.
The Bible says, "For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Now let's join Reverend Eleanor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
We're going to be reading from Luke, the 15th chapter. Luke 15, beginning with verse 1, and then we're going to skip down to verse 11. Luke 15, beginning with verse 1. Hear these words. "Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, 'This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Verse 11, "Then Jesus said, 'There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me. So he divided his property between them. And a few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living." Some translations say wild living. "When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion and ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" And they began to celebrate. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Good and gracious God, we thank you that you are a loving Father. You are a compassionate Father. You are a forgiving Father. God, we thank you. We thank you that you're running to us even now while we are still far off from your will, far off from doing things your way. And yet you're running toward us this morning saying, "Come on home." God, use this word to direct us home to you, home to your love. Lord, I pray that the word of my mouth and the meditation of every heart gathered is acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated.
"Come on home" is our word for today. Friends, I wonder, what is the longest time you have ever been away from home, away from family? Maybe it was a wonderful week-long cruise, because I know we got some cruisers and travelers in here. Maybe it was just time at camp at Lakeview that 5 days is the longest you've ever been away. Maybe you spent a little time in jail. Pastor not being messy, just keeping it real. That might be the longest time you were ever away from home. Or was it the 6 grueling weeks of basic training when you joined the military that might have felt like jail? Or maybe it's just a super long semester here in school when you couldn't afford to travel home financially or maybe academically. I don't know what the longest time you've been away is, but no matter how long we're gone or why we were gone, we can likely agree that there's no place like home. Amen. Dorothy was the one to teach us that lesson in the wilderness. After a long adventure and some misadventures, after being lost and found and lost again, we have the three clicks of her heels to remind us that there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. If only we could remember that before we're so eager to leave. Amen. And that's the story of today's gospel. As we continue our Lenten journey toward the cross, I pray that we can hear our Heavenly Father calling us home today, saying, come on home. Doesn't matter what you've done, come on home. Doesn't matter what you haven't done, come on home. After all, reconciliation, helping us to find our way back to the heart of God, to the love of God. That's the whole entire reason that God sent his son into the world. Every sermon that Jesus taught on the lakeshore, every potluck and fish fry that he hosted for the community, every healing, every new teaching, every baptism and resurrection, all occurred with the sole purpose of pointing us home. Jesus said it this way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Our Lenten journey began with a call to repentance. And today's gospel amplifies that call. Luke 15 reminds us that we all stand in need of forgiveness, of grace, of redemption. We all stand in need of a welcome home. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A few weeks from now, as we draw even closer to the cross, it will be Peter who falls short as he denies Jesus. But today it might be us. As we deny Jesus, as we refuse to answer the call of God to serve God and neighbor. Today, it's not Peter, it's our spiritual ancestors, these two brothers, these sons, who missed the mark. Now, we assume that the prodigal son is the one who left, the one that wasted and lost all the money. But the end of the story shows us that sometimes we can do the right things for the wrong reason. Sometimes we can do the right thing with the wrong spirit, and that too is classified as sin. So before we declare that we would never take from our Father and not give anything back, before we announce that we would never demand a blessing from the Father, we would never leave home without consideration for how the household is going to run, without us, before we declare our faithfulness to the Father, we must remember all the times we wasted the wealth of the gifts that God has planted in us. We must remember all the times that we've blown the blessings of God in the blink of an eye. We have to remember the times that we've not showed up and not even worried about how worship went. Amen. The times that we have not even been concerned if the outreach effort reached as far as it could without our efforts. We must remember that we've all wandered from the fold. We've all been the lost sheep that Jesus is talking about in the passage of scripture that we skipped over. That's the lesson he's teaching before he talks about these two sons. Friends, we've all wandered. As the old hymn, Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing, suggests. The hymn writer himself is said to have wandered. He was known to hang around a rough gang, and he lived a wild life. And though he was a minister when he wrote the song, we should know that he wasn't always saved. We should know that he would have been much more like the son who wandered off than the son who stayed home. And the good news is, God can use us. God can use everything about us, our faithfulness in the field and the pig pen parts of our life too. God can work with that. It's out of this man's pain, his hard living, his mistakes, his failures, that this imperfect pastor writes, Jesus sought me when a stranger wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. He goes on to write, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." Friends, you may have never rolled with a rough gang like the hymn writer. You may have never lived wild and fast like him or the prodigal son, but can you remember a time when you were asked to serve and you didn't? Not because you couldn't, just because you wouldn't. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel you. You may not have demanded your inheritance from the Lord, but have you ever focused more on your blessing than your ability to be a blessing, prone to wander, prone to leave the God you love? Friends, can we all agree that we have all been prodigals? Oh, ain't nobody talking. Can we all agree that we've all been prodigals? Amen, somebody. If so, let us just hear what this word for us is from Luke 15. I know it's a familiar story. I know when I started reading, you thought, we know that one. She ain't got to read all the verses. But we pray that there's a fresh word from God in those verses for us today. As we step into verse 12, we hear that younger son say, "Give me mine." Now, he already knew he was going to have a smaller portion as the younger son. Older son is really entitled to everything. They don't have to give you nothing. But he says, "Give me mine." And I wonder how often that is our approach. How often we come to the Father just saying, give me, versus what we sang earlier, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How many times do we come to the Father not giving thanks for what we already have, but asking for more and more and more? And we need to know that in this culture, for him to ask for his inheritance now is the same thing as him coming to his father saying, "I wish you were dead." Because we inherit upon death. And to say, "Give me mine," now says, "I wish you were dead now, so I could have what I believe is mine." How often is that our approach? Give me. Now, we like to sing and we claim to say, "I give myself away." But don't we like to hold on to a little bit too? Yeah. I give myself away, but I might hold on to all of it, depending on how I'm feeling. And then we simply declare, "The Lord knows my heart." Amen. God sure does. That's why God is saying, "Come on home. Come on home." Verse 14 through 16 tell us how he was living out there. The text says he spent it all. Now, even the blues singer knows not to spend your last $2. You don't spend your last $2. But this text says that he spent it all. And I believe he didn't just spend all his money. He spent all his dignity. You out there in the pig pen trying to eat slop, trying to wrestle with a pig for a bite. He spent all his dignity. He spent all the priorities, all of his time, being reckless, being wasteful, being self-indulgent, because some of us believe we'll have time to get it together.
Amen.
He spent everything. He was broke and broken. And I wonder if anyone has ever been either of those. You may have just been broke, struggling to introduce your ends to each other, knowing that you have more month than money. You might have been broke, and then some folks have been broken by circumstances, by life, by struggle, by pain. This guy was broke and broken. He had spent everything. And then my favorite verse in this story says, some translations say, when he came to his senses, but the one we read today is my favorite understanding. It says, when he came to himself. when he came to himself. Friends, that says to me, when he remembered who he was, when he remembered that he was the Son of the Most High, when he remembered that he was fearfully and wonderfully made, that he was the head and not the tail, when he remembered that he was a lender and not a borrower or a beggar, when he realized, when he came to himself and remembered that he was the righteousness of Christ, that he was more than a conqueror, when he came to himself and realized he was blessed to be a blessing, when he came to himself, he had to get up out of that mess. We can't do both. We can't come to ourselves. We can't be living in the full knowledge of who we are in God and still choosing our mess. And so when he came to himself, he decided to go and seek forgiveness. He decided to go and serve his Father. He knew, I can't go home as a son. I gave up all rights to that. I can't go home as a son. I can go home and say, I want to serve you. Take me in like one of your hired hands. Let me be a slave to you. But when he came to himself, he realized that being a slave to his Father would be better than being free in this crazy world. So when he came to himself, he decided to take a chance, to trust that maybe, just maybe, his sin had not written him out of the family story. Because as we said, he didn't have any more rights to this land, any more rights to this money, any more rights to anything in that household. So he said, let me take a chance that maybe sin has not written me out of the family. And I know that even as I speak, the enemy is telling someone, she's not talking to you though. She's not talking to you though, because your sin really has separated you from God. She don't mean you, because your sin really has written you out of the family. She don't even know the half of what you've done in this life. So she's not talking to you. The enemy is saying to someone, maybe not even a whisper, maybe a shout, the Father will never take you back. You really messed up this time. This pig pen, this mess, this relationship, this situationship, this job, this is the best you're going to be able to do. Well, friends, I stop by to tell you that nothing can separate you from the love of God.
Amen.
Not even you. I stop by to tell you that the Father is waiting for you. The Father is watching for you to come home. Just like that father in Luke 15 was watching and saw his son coming when he was still a far way off. So many of us say, well, when I get myself together, then I'll. The Father's not worried about that. While he was still a long way off, before he could get any of his rehearsed speech out of his mouth, the Father starts to run to him. Can you imagine that while you're still going through whatever you're going through, that God is standing with arms wide open, waiting for you to turn away from what's hurting you and turn to him? Can you imagine that even before you get it all together, while you're still a long way off, God is watching and waiting? Can you imagine that even when you withhold your prayers, presents, gifts, service, witness, because you spent it all someplace else, even when your attitude stinks as much as your pig pen attire, God is saying, come on home. Can you imagine that while you still have the stench of the pigs on you, that God prepares a table before you, a welcome home feast? Psalm 103, verses 10 through 12 say, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth is his love for those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. This Lenten season is a time of repentance, a time of return. I wonder, what will it take for us to come to ourselves? What will it take for us to come on home? Folks used to say, if you take one step, God will take two. Friends, according to this text, if you take one step, God will take like 21 steps. He takes off running while the son is still a far ways off. The father saw him and began to run. Now we need to know that culturally it would have been shameful for a grown man to run in public. That would be the behavior of a child, or that would be the feeling, the compassion of a woman. The mother might sit out and run when she sees him. The mother could kiss him. But the father wasn't allowed to show that kind of emotion. We also need to know that this young man had shamed and disgraced the whole family by leaving. But the good news is the father is willing to take on that shame in order to welcome him home. In order to say, come on home. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 tells us that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The message of the cross is that the Father takes on our shame. The Father takes on all of our sin, pays that whole debt when we spent it all, so that we are free to come on home. As he returned to the village, the people would have seen him, honey. And they wouldn't have just started talking. There was a whole ceremony for an occasion like this. They would have come out. They would have started throwing jars of food, nuts and corn, and I don't know why those particular things. But they would have started throwing things down to let him know, you're not welcome here. We're angry with what you did. That's not how we live in this village. You're not welcome. But before they could do all that, before any of that could happen, before one stone jar could drop, the father runs to meet his no good child as if no goodness is no matter. Friends, how many of you know that our no goodness is no matter? While we were still a long way off, while we were sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, while we were prone to wander, prone to leave the God we love, God ran down from heaven in the person of Jesus Christ and met us on the cross, where he started calling out to all of the prodigals, come on home. From the cross, he started crying out, your sins are forgiven. Even while we were a long way off from an empty grave, you started saying, I got nothing but love for you. I got nothing but grace from you. Nothing can separate you from my love, not even me. When we were a long way off, God ran down from heaven through Jesus and said, let's prepare a celebration for him. A feast, because you were dead and now you are alive. You were lost, but now you are found. Yeah. A feast. Friends, this table that God prepares, this table that the Father prepares, is both a celebration and its preparation. The table is prepared so you can come and eat, so that you have strength for the work ahead. Because it's time to get back to the fields. Jesus said it how? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the field. And so he prepares a table so that he might be strengthened even for the work ahead. Because what happens at the table, you know that when we come to this table for Holy Communion, we're not just remembering Christ's work on the cross, but we are being remembered, put together as the body of Christ, the way God needs us to be put together, not just so we can look back at Jesus' work, but so that we can look forward to our own work in the world. Remember, we are being made one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world, our communion ritual tells us. so I wonder, when we eat in the pig pens, what are we being prepared for? When we eat the slop of the world, what are we being prepared for? When we eat the trash versus the rich treasure that God would offer us, what are we being prepared for? When we do all our spiritual eating apart from the community even, what are we preparing ourselves for? Friends, this morning I hear God calling all of us prodigals home to feast, to fellowship, to serve God and neighbor, to worship and serve in spirit and truth. And that brings us to the other son. Faithful to the father, but not so faithful to neighbor. Couldn't even celebrate his own brother's salvation, his own brother's return home. Even if you ain't glad that he all right, can you at least be glad that you got two more hands in the field now? Couldn't even celebrate that. Can you imagine not celebrating the soul that gets saved and here today? Could you imagine not celebrating but wanting more spiritual credit than someone new to the faith because you've been in church all your life? Can you imagine not making room at the table for all of those who decide to come home? Making room at the table. That's how this whole conversation started, right? In verse 1, church folks, the Pharisees, the scribes were upset because Jesus was eating with tax collectors and sinners. And so I have to wonder, where would we be sitting at the beginning of Luke 15? Do we know that each and every one of us is a sinner saved by grace, and we need to accept that invitation to sit with sinners at the table with Jesus? Or do we do as Psalm 1 says? Are we sitting in the seat of scoffers? Are we judging? Are we talking about those that Jesus embraces? Where are we sitting? The good news is there's room for all of us, and God is calling all the prodigals home today. Even those who never physically left home. Thanks be to God, there's room at the table. Thanks be to God, there is forgiveness for all. Thanks be to God that our goodness is no matter. Amen. When the Father calls for the best robe to be wrapped around his son, he's covering up his sin and shame. Yeah. When he tells them to put a ring on the finger, that's restoring his authority. Yeah. He represents this household. He can sign for me again. And when he calls for the sandals, that separates him from the slaves and the servants. Yes. Only a free man would be walking with sandals, with shoes on. And so I know goodness is no matter. He covers up that shame. He lavishes him with love. He gives beauty for ashes. He gives him honor that he has not earned. We have a word for that. We call it grace.
Yes.
Thanks be to God. We are all beneficiaries of God's grace. Thanks be to God. We have all received God's unearned love, God's unmerited favor. Thanks be to God. We are all called to come on home. What's stopping you? What's stopping you? What are you waiting for to really live and serve the way God has called you to live and serve? Which son do you choose to be today? Because truth be told, it's likely that we've been both sons.
Amen.
At one point or another. And the good news is, we don't have to get into the specifics of our sin in front of all these church folks. We don't have to break down our prodigalness, our prodigality, whatever we want to call it. We don't have to do all of that. Because no matter what the sin is, we're still connected to God's story of love and redemption. No matter what our faults and failures are, God is still saying, come on home.
Yeah.
I wonder, what will it take for you to come to yourself? What will it take for you to come on home? Because I can see our Heavenly Father standing with open arms. I can see our Heavenly Father waiting to embrace us, seeing the best in us. I can see our Father watching us from a long way off, saying, look at my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Come on home. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.